Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Winner's Circle. I'm Derek.
And I'm Cody.
And we are here. If you're listening to this right now, it's the day before Christmas Eve. So we're talking the 23rd. If you're watching it on YouTube, it's Christmas Eve, guys. Santa's almost here. We're really excited about it. We know that we had spoken about this last week where we said, you know, Survivor's officially over. We did hear some of your comments about maybe covering Amazing Race. Cody, I think we might do that, right?
Maybe. We'll see. I'm a noob when it comes to Amazing Race. I'll be like watching and probably have no idea what's going on and say something and people be like, boo, you're stupid. Stick with Big Brother. And I'm like, fine, I will.
I mean, I think Amazing Race is pretty easy because it's a simple
concept. I've
never
watched it ever. The only thing I know about Amazing Race is what Nicole told me when we were on All Stars. And I don't even really remember much of it.
I forgot. That's right. Nicole was on Amazing Race. A lot of Big Brother players have been on Amazing Race. Now, it's definitely something that you had Jessica and Cody, Nicole and Victor, Rachel Riley, Alyssa Riley. There's others too. Jeff and Jordan.
This is so random and totally off topic. A little bit of drama. Did you notice a little bit of drama that was going on Twitter in the Big Brother realm?
Wait. Drama in the Big Brother realm? No, I never heard of it.
Starting from Janelle.
Janelle, no,
Nicole.
Nicole, which Nicole?
Franzel.
But she's been going at her since All-Stars.
Yeah,
no?
But I thought it like had died and it came out of nowhere. I was streaming the other day. Somebody was like, oh, did you see the drama? And it was like Janelle went at Nicole and was like, what a real competitor looks like. And it was talking about, it was like Rachel Riley, like saying something to Nicole and Victor. And I was like, oh, wow, she just is like, she's just ruthless. She still is going at Nicole.
Yeah, they definitely are oil and water, huh? Those two?
I feel like when I was on the All-Star season, I was the person that was keeping Janelle from like snapping on her because we were have nots together, but it was like fun. I was like, ooh, a little bit of drama in the Big Brother universe, huh?
You know, there's always drama. There's always drama in our reality world. I mean, listen,
it's facts.
Every time I turn around, there's somebody going at somebody. It's like, just pick a day. Pick a day.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's have them all get in a boxing match together.
Imagine a Big Brother US boxing rival match.
Yeah, I mean,
who'd be your rival?
Oh, Jesus.
Maybe don't get into that.
Yeah, I mean, there's honestly only one person that I'd probably want to box. You know, I've been asked to do it a couple of times. There's only one person I want to box, and
we're gonna leave that up to your imagination.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say that name. There's only one. If you follow me, you know who that probably is. Let's just say it physically would be impossible to box this person. For the smart people out there, they'll know what that means. But
take it and run with it, baby.
Hey, listen. Nothing's going to upset us.
No,
Christmas is coming. Santa's here. The tree's lit. Okay. Green and red lights. All right. Look at your tree behind you. I mean,
dude,
fire.
You should see. Speaking of trees, did I ever tell you about what happened to our tree this year?
As long as it's not on fire and you didn't.
Not on fire, but it's the saddest looking thing ever. Christy took it off her TikTok, but she ordered this tree and the picture was like, oh, wow, it's going to be this awesome tree. And we get the tree and we're like spreading the stuff out and we're like, this isn't working. This isn't making the tree look full. Our tree is bare bones. Like it could not, like, you know, when you spread these fake, the artificial trees, it's supposed to make them look full. Ours has spaces everywhere. Christy had to wrap like this ribbon around the whole thing just to fill the space between the two layers. Like, you know how one layer gets hooked in and then it drops and then you open it up. Bro, the layers are like clear as day. You can see them. It's an absolute nightmare. It's a nightmare of a tree.
I got to ask, okay. So this is your first year, you and Chrissy living together for Christmas, right?
Yeah.
How do you drop the ball and not go out and get a real tree the first year?
A real tree? I've never had a real tree in my entire life.
What?
Yeah. Real trees are out, bro. Those light on fire and burn down houses. That is a fact. You don't do a real tree,
what, do they
tree,
spontaneously
right?
combust?
No, the light's in the tree. And as it dries out a little bit, because, you know, you got to put water on the bottom. And if you don't, the lights heat up, the tree gets a little bit dry and then... Dude, those things go up in an instant. Those are like, it's like gas and fire.
All right, first poll in the comment section. Yeah. Weigh in. Real tree, fake tree. What are we rolling with? I know I always had a fake tree. I shouldn't say that. It was intermittent. Some years we had a fake one. Some years we had a real one I was a kid. I remember more years than not going and getting a real one. It was such a good occasion. And since having Tenley and Peyton, we always get a real one. It's tradition. We go out. We let the girls pick the tree. There's nothing better than going, picking out a tree, getting hot chocolate. There's Christmas music playing. that you go, you have the young kids that are usually working at the tree farm. You say, is this the one, guys? Yes, this is it. They wrap it up in a net. You smell the pine needles. You bring it home and your whole house smells like Christmas. It's amazing. Cody, it's full.
Let me give you, that was a jab and you didn't need to say it. Let me give you another before you guys weigh in the comments.
Okay, Scrooge, give us it.
You get yourself this incredible hot chocolate, which you make homemade. Put the chocolate into the pot. You melt the chocolate. You add the milk. You heat it up. You stir it. You add any marshmallows you would like. You have that. You stay in the warmth of your own home. The tree comes down from a little attic or a closet that you have. You bring it out. You light a pine cone candle. You get the Christmas music on the TV. Because those don't catch on fire. It's a candle. You don't put it on the tree. You set it next to the tree by the TV.
So okay? You're telling me that a candle, an open flame, has a lesser chance of causing a fire than just a tree and water.
I'm not putting the candle on the bottom of the tree. I'm putting it like off. Open flame. The aroma is there. Okay. It's not near the tree.
Okay.
Okay. So the natural aroma is not there, but either is the sap that comes along with these pine trees. The sap. Okay. So, and they also shed and they make a mess. All right. And so now you've ruined my whole warm thing because now it sounds a little bit angry and it's not even warm anymore. Fake tree is the way to go. Okay?
You keep your Charlie Brown tree in there and you do your thing.
You put your gloves on so that the things don't prick your fingers and hurt you. And then you spread them apart nice and easy. You put the lights around and then voila,
we'll see how that changes as life changes for you and, you know, you expand your family.
We're keeping a fake tree.
Okay, Scrooge. All right, moving on. I'm not going to win this over. I'm going to work on him. I got you. I'm going to work on him. But it's not his fault because you've had a fake tree your entire life, right? That's all you know.
I'm going to stick to it.
Oh, my God. Bring the tree down from the attic, guys. Here it comes in sections.
Well, I would always help my dad. I would always be at the bottom. Dad, are you holding it? Don't drop it. My
God. You know, speaking of Christmas, because I'm definitely in the holiday spirit. I know you are too. We were talking about it beforehand and you stopped me. You said, hey, I don't want to hear it now. Wait till the podcast. Yeah. I want to share with everyone. Before we get into it, because it's a funny story, let's take our first break and we'll be right back. All right. So we're back from break. And I was telling Cody before we started recording tonight that I had a funny Christmas story. We were out two nights ago going to put decorations on a Christmas tree, a real one in a park.
That's pretty cool.
Yes.
Maybe we'll do that as a tradition.
So we actually have a tree in Rhode Island. It's in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, Slater Park. It's a memorial tree. You can reserve one for your loved ones that you've lost. And it has a little sign in front of it that puts out, you know, our grandparents, all that stuff. And you can put ornaments on it. It's lit. You can go visit it. And it's really, really cool. Go every year, take pictures. On my way home, I saw a little Best Buy. And I was looking earlier, you know, just searching the internet. And I saw this new VR goggle, the Quest 2s, the Oculus. And they've been out for a while. This is the second version. My co-host has them on my other podcast, and she loves them. And I'm like, we were just at Foxwoods Casino not too long ago, and my daughters played the virtual reality machine there. It's like a big machine. Mm-hmm. And supposedly, these things are just as, if not better, than those. So I'm like, let me go look, because they weren't available anywhere else. I go in there real quick, you know, doing some window shopping, and there's a set there. There's a box there. They have one. So I'm like, I'm going to buy it. They offer kind of the same deal as like Amazon now, where if you don't use it, like you in 30, if you don't like it, you can return it.
Okay.
No questions asked. So I'm like, what do I got to lose? So I bring it home. And this is embarrassing because I'm 37. I originally got these because I just prefaced by saying my kids loved it, thought it'd be a great game for them. So last night, I'm hooking it up. The kids were in bed. Like, I'm going to download a couple games. You know, I got it on. By the way, it looks phenomenal. You really do feel like you're there. But I'm like, boxing game? This is probably not that good. I'm going to download it. It's called The Thrill to Fight or whatever. I'm like, I'm going to download it. So I download it, $9.99. Boop, download it. Loads up. Bro, I was playing that game for like 2 hours. And
what time was this?
This was like 1 o'clock in the morning. Okay. No. Seriously. Dead serious. I'm in the living room and I'm in full blown matches. I was a ball of sweat. As the rounds were ending, like in between rounds, I was like curled over. It was like I was in a real boxing match.
Did you have the water bottle to your left?
I was in the living room. I wish I had a water bottle. I was dying. It was 2 to 3 minute rounds. I fought like 4 or 5 rounds. Cody, no word of a lie, when it ended, I laid on the floor in the living room for like 20 minutes to recover. I must have burned 400 or 500 calories. And here's the funny part. I'm sore today. My arms, my shoulders, I feel like I was in a 15-round fight. It's probably, you know, old age, but also the fact that, like, I just really got way too into it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, dude, a boxing match is exhausting in itself, like a real boxing match. And like these VR, these like virtual reality games that you can play, that's like realistic. It's
what's your take
when
on
the punches
it?
Are getting thrown on it.
You're a gamer. Like, have you heard about the Oculus? This isn't a sponsorship. Like, I'm telling you now before he gets into it, if you can afford it, it's pricey. There's one that's $299 and one that's $399 with more storage. So, I mean, either work, it just depends on how many games you're going to play. But guys, I have so many videos on my phone from today where my girls were playing and I was recording them while they're in there dancing with robots and stuff.
Yeah.
We burned the battery out. It's on the charger now, but like you being a gamer, like, is it something that you're interested in? Is it like in that community or is it more of like a novelty?
People definitely love it. For me, those kind of things, like the virtual reality stuff and all that, it's something that's like fun, but in my opinion, that just like dies. And this is only with me. I'm not saying that happens to everybody else. Nobody has ever said that to me. But for me, when I'm playing these, it's like, you know, do you remember Wii?
Oh, of course. Like they have it in their room. Yes.
Yeah. So I loved Wii and then it just died for me. And I was right back to playing PlayStation because it's cool and all, but I don't know, like the whole, you know, I'm more into first person shooter games. And so for me, Call of Duty growing up, SOCOM growing up, those are the games that I played. And so for me, like, I like the action. I like the opportunity to win a match or win a round and all stuff like that. But I can't see them figuring that out where it's cool, like with the glasses on the virtual reality, unless I can use a controller and it just makes me feel like I'm still there, which
you are using
the
controller. You have two controllers in each hand. It's like a gun, dude.
Yeah. But then you walk and stuff, but like I'm doing a lot of stuff. I don't know. I thought was like the verge of it. It was like you had the two controllers and it was like arms and stuff. And then I felt like it went up to this virtual reality and I didn't get into Wii. So I can't see myself really getting into it. And you know me, I'm a gamer, bro. Like I game hours each day.
Dude, I know we don't see each other often in person.
Yeah.
We have to get together. And your mind's gonna be blown. I definitely agree with you. It's not the it's not strong enough yet, like the drivers or whatever, because it's an independent system. It doesn't have to be hooked up to anything. It's wireless. Everything's internal, right? And the games are very good, but I don't think it has like the graphics to do like a Call of Duty or something yet. Mm-hmm. But it has like first person games that are like shooting games and stuff. It looks more like a Halo style, but it's unbelievable.
I've seen some videos.
Dude, it blows Wii out of the water. It's not even, it shouldn't even, I thought it was going to be like that as well. It shouldn't even be in the same sentence, but you have to get down here or find someone. I definitely think you should come down.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous. There's also virtual reality worlds that you can load, like on a space station, like an actual space station.
Yeah.
You're looking down at Earth, bro. It feels like you're there.
Yeah.
I'm not exaggerating. It was unbelievable. When we get done recording, I'm going to edit this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm hopping on the Quest.
All right.
I'm getting on it.
I respect it.
And by the way, if you had it, we can like chat with each other. We can play table tennis, like real table tennis against each other.
See, we can box each other. This is on its way to the metaverse.
That's what this is. This is for the metaverse too, dude.
Yeah. There's going to be it's not right now. Obviously it's going to be a ways out. I'm saying like 10 years. There's going to be people that barely can live in the reality.
They're more famous and more popular, more rich in their metaverse.
Yeah. And their metaverse. And then it's going to lead to more people just being out of the workforce and not working. And it's going to be awesome.
Hey, but you know, if you're doing crypto and NFTs, you guess you can do it in the metaverse.
I don't know a lot about that. Maybe that's something that I should get a little bit informed about it because I've been seeing the cryptos. I've been seeing all that and none of it's making much sense to me. I'm like, how is this making millions of dollars? Like, is it real money?
Dude, it's a whole different beast. I tried talking to Mike Holloway about it, the guy who won Survivor, because he's big into crypto. And he was trying to explain it to me. And I'm like, I just got to start doing some research. But you are right. The Facebook actually, I think, is the creator or behind the Oculus. So you have to have a Facebook account to sign in and do all those things. But I'm just scratching the surface as far as the game. Like you said, there's this whole metaverse thing where it's social interactions with other people and communicating and sharing things and buying things. And it, I was just so impressed at how good the virtual reality was. I didn't expect that. But I mean, you really bring up a good point, because there are people right now, I was just seeing online, we might as well go down this path. We're already talking about it. Like, there are metaverses that are, have already been created. Snoop Dogg's pushing it, right? He just bought a like a piece of land for a couple million dollars in a metaverse. I think it's the Sandbox metaverse. There was someone else who bought a yacht inside the metaverse.
I have a question. He bought with money.
Yep. Crypto.
Land in the metaverse.
Yep. He has a Snoop Dogg's house, and I apologize, it wasn't Snoop. He has his house. Somebody bought the plots of land next to him for like $2 million. Ether.
In the metaverse?
In the metaverse. And then someone just spent $600,000 on a yacht in the metaverse.
From their crypto dollars.
Yeah, it's all like that Ethereum.
Yeah, they're trying to create... Dude, they're literally trying to create an alternate reality where dollars is not used and cryptocurrency is used. So the cryptocurrency, does it have any value? Like, for me right in this second, unless somebody...
Well, you can cash it out. You can cash out Ethereum and stuff like that, like Bitcoin and stuff. You can cash it out. So it's a digital coin. But if you sell that coin, like if I have a Bitcoin, I think they're around like 30, 40,000, right? And you buy it from me, Cody buys it from me, I get paid out for that. You now you own the coin. If it goes up or down, it's almost like an equity. Yeah. But it's
who's paying out this dollar amount?
Well, the people who are paying in for it initially. So like it's all on the blockchain where somebody, all the coins were mined. Mm-hmm. And then I get what you're saying. Like, where's the money originate from?
Right.
But people are paying out of pocket for that value. But their pocket is being transferred into their crypto wallet. Which,
and
so
who,
like,
who are they paying out of their pocket to?
To the person they're buying the coin from. Or the person
who did that person
it.
Buy the coin from? Who's the head?
You can mine them. You can mine them.
What does that mean?
Dude, it's a whole different world. We could do a 2-hour podcast.
We should find out about it, because I want to know, because there's, you know, you see, I see it on TikTok all the time. Everybody's like, oh, look at my crypto. I made this and you missed out. And it's like, if you would have taken your stimulus check from 2019 and put it into crypto, you could be making like millions. And I'm like, where are these millions coming from?
You know, I see it too. And I do have a little FOMO about it, because I'm like super like nerdy when it comes to stuff. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
For me, a rule of thumb that I have is you shouldn't invest what you can't afford to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And you should only invest in things you understand.
Right.
So for me, it's like I maybe my brain is just too simple, but it's like real estate. I know real estate. Here's a piece of land. You bought it. If the market goes up, that land's worth more. You can sell it. If it goes down, you know, that's what it is. Or you can rent out the property, whatever. Same thing with equities. I don't know as much about it, but like when I buy stock in Target, I know that if Target's doing well, my stock goes up, and however many stocks I have are worth more, and I can sell them to someone else who's on the stock market, who's looking to trade. Right.
Yeah.
And they'll trade me for money. If Target stock goes down because they have like some type of attack, a cyber attack. Well, guess what? Those stocks that I bought at $20 a piece are now worth $15 a piece. I lost money. Yeah. I can understand that. Crypto, if I had money to spare, I don't think I would use it there unless I really took the time to completely understand it. Mm-hmm. And maybe I will one day. Maybe I'll be preaching about crypto, you know, 6 months from now. But I just don't understand it enough to spend any money that I've established that I can afford to lose, because every time you invest, no matter what it's in, it's a gamble. But if I'm going to gamble, it's going to be on something I think I understand.
Weird, because the reason why I have so many questions about it is because there are so many commercials that you're seeing out right now. You know, like Odell Beckham was in a crypto commercial. Matt Damon was just in a crypto commercial. I think Tom Brady was in one too. I'm like, who is spending all this money to get these big wigs into cryptocurrency to get people? Because, you know, obviously we know why they do it. We know why marketing and advertising puts these faces on what something is because that makes, you know, average people like us being like, oh, well, if they're using it, I want to try it. Or if they must have, you know, chose or might be behind it because they're on this commercial, or else why would they be doing this? So let me look into it. Let me see what it is. And I just don't understand where this money is coming from. Yeah, it says right here, crypto.com launched $100 million global advertising campaign. Like, who is crypto? Why? How are they making money? Where are they getting this money from? And what is that going to do to the dollar? What, yeah, like,
I mean, well,
is the metaphor, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, the dollar's already in shambles right now as it is with inflation, but it's like, does this help? Like, I don't know, man. This thing is weird to me.
Well, there's definitely a lure to be first, right? Like the people that are investing in crypto now, like high risk, high reward. There is definitely an advantage to getting in when it's new because, and the reason why is because it's so risky, right? You don't know if it's going to be a success or a failure. The only thing I'll say to people out there, and we're not financial advisors, is again, those millionaires, like you see someone investing $2 million into cryptocurrency, into NFTs, they're probably worth billions or excess millions where $2 million to them,
right?
$2 million to them is not going to make or break them. So for you, you have to decide like what is something that you can afford to lose. It may be a couple $1,000 or something like that.
Right.
And if that's something where you're like, if it hits, great. If it doesn't, no big deal. Then maybe that's the money you play with. But when you see these big numbers, don't think that it's the normal Joe who's taking their whole life savings investing it in crypto, because again, as I said, high risk, high reward, right? But again, that comes with the possibility that a lot of these crypto coins don't survive. There's like, there's a bunch of different ones like Bitcoin, Dogecoin, all these different ones.
Shiba Inu. Many,
yeah, exactly. Many of them are not going to survive. And so the question becomes like Ethereum, like which is going to be the standard coin that we go with? And ultimately, if you guess wrong, and you put your life savings on it, you're not getting it back. So that's the only thing I would caution people.
It seemed like to me, I haven't done enough, but like just on the first time I heard of it, it seemed a lot like penny stocks. Do you remember when, I don't know if this was a thing for you and it caught for you, but when I was in college, a lot of people were talking about trading penny stocks. I'm like, dude, get into these penny stocks and you can put in money and it can make a bump happen. And then more people could put it in. The market just kind of like auto corrects it. And then all of a sudden it skyrockets. And if you get in the beginning, you can make millions. That's what it seems like to me. And penny stocks are not a thing. Yeah. And so that's what it kind of seemed like to me. And I may be completely wrong. Guys, let me know down below if you guys have any insight on this and if I'm way off basis, but it seemed a lot like penny stocks and trading penny stocks, which what we learned and you know, I took finance because I graduated with a business degree, took economics. It's like penny stocks are not the move you have money that you're willing to lose.
That's it. You just got to know, like, it's got to be throwaway money where it's like, hey, if it hits, amazing. And if it doesn't, not a big deal. You could say the same thing about it, like the first investors in Uber and all these other things, right? Like nobody, I'm sure there's a lot of people.
That was an idea.
It was an idea like, hey, listen, here's this new thing. It's going to be the next big thing. You're going to have, you're going to have transportation and you're going to be picked up by random strangers. It's going to be huge. I'm sure there were a ton of investors. I know there were that turned down Uber. I think Gary V was one of them where like he didn't invest in Uber, but he came to me. He was like getting picked up by strangers in the middle. Yeah. Okay. And he didn't invest in it. And now it's a multi-billion dollar operation. So again, it's one of those things. We'll see how it goes. We'll see what happens. But we talked a lot. We went on a lot of subjects there, but VR, I was not a believer. I was not a believer until I got the Quest, the Oculus. And now I see it. I see that, you know, with this artificial, you know, virtual reality, it has cameras on the outside, so it can still see your room and stuff. So you see it sometimes like Amazon, where there's going to be points where you're going to be in a virtual store, like on Amazon, and you're going to be able to pick up these things and then select them to buy them. And it's going to go right to your wallet. Yeah. It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be weird. I'm not about that. Like a virtual reality.
I love it. I love it, dude. I love it. And I mean, it's so crazy. Like our kids too, like Tenley's hopping on it. She's already got it figured out. She's picking up cubes and moving them and she's using her virtual hands. But like augmented reality is the word I was looking for, where like you can now, like at IKEA, you can go on the IKEA website on your phone and then show your camera into a corner of the room and it'll show the chair that you're thinking about buying in your room. I'm sure you've seen that before.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I see that happening with the goggles. So
we
talked a lot about virtual reality, the metaverse, but this is, again, we're kind of a little bit all over the place, but this is a holiday episode, right? We're not getting serious. We know we kind of do headlines. It's near the end of the year. We want to keep it positive. I'm excited about my Quest. Cody really isn't.
I'm not going to be getting it.
Cody's sitting on his couch with his remote control and his fake tree and his hot cocoa.
It's actually right here. Sounds good, though. I sit right here. And I got my controller right here. We've got the logo on it and everything. And I turn like this, and it's this monitor right here. I'm just locked in.
I do agree with you, though, like as far as like when the, because I will say the Quest, the Oculus can hook up to your gaming PC, mm-hmm. and it can serve as just a set for the virtual reality, because your PC is obviously a lot more powerful than the Quest.
Right.
So that is some things where maybe it gets there, but I could see it being a problem where they have to design the game like Call of Duty, which is so detailed around these. We'll see how long it takes to get there. But imagine. Which is super
difficult because, dude, the amount that I play Call of Duty a lot, the amount of storage that eats up just to run on my CPU is like insane. It like slows a lot of other stuff down, like the single PCs. But I don't know. It's obviously a technology that is going to grow and get better. And they have the means to get it done. So
absolutely. All right. Enough about VR. Enough about the metaverse. We'll see how it goes. Way in the comments. You feeling it? You not feeling it? Let us know. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about this weekend, the past weekend's fights, Jake Paul, Tyron Woodley, crazy event. Everyone was talking about it on social media. So we're going to talk about it here. Stick with us. Take this break. We'll be right back.
All right, so we're back, and over the weekend, we were talking about the Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley fight. This has been a thing that has been going on between the Paul brothers. This is like a huge saga. You know, Logan Paul was the first guy to really do it, the YouTuber, and I don't know how he locked down Floyd Mayweather. I don't know how that was a thing, but they made millions and millions of dollars. So what is Jake Paul going to do? Like, he's been doing his whole career. He just kind of follows the footsteps of his brother and just kind of goes, all right, he did that with Vine. And so he's a little bit more like easy to dislike Jake Paul, in my opinion, but I love him, but I feel like people look to like dislike him. And so we had a little bit of controversy after this fight, and I want to hear what you think about it, 'cause I know how I feel watching the knockout, but I have been getting flooded on my For You page on TikTok with everybody saying that he gave a hint when the punch was coming and it was a staged knockout. What do you think?
No, I think it's real. I mean, I'm not an expert, and even like, but a lot of the experts, like, there's a couple boxing channels that I see on YouTube. Then you have people like in the MMA community, Michael Bisping, who is not a fan of Jake Paul, but is a professional fighter,
right,
and known for his boxing. Right. They're saying that basically right before the punch, you see Jake Paul kind of twist his wrists, and the first time he twists his wrist. Yeah, he twisted in. It was kind of like an unnatural motion. And then you see, like, when he does this, Tyron, like, moves his hand. And then he resets and he does it again. And then, boom, he hits him, knocks him out. By the way, if you haven't seen it, we don't want to get demonetized here. Maybe we'll try to sneak it in. Probably not. Yeah. Look at the knockout. It's incredible. Mm-hmm.
You can find it anywhere.
Yeah, without a doubt, the knockout itself, he was unconscious. There's no he literally... His face caught the mat. There's no way your body naturally is going to try to protect itself. He didn't even move his hands. His dome literally caught the mat. So a lot of people were saying, like, when you're a boxer and your hands are inside those gloves, you'll sometimes push them together. Mm-hmm. You'll sometimes twist your wrist to try to like shake the glove a little bit to move it to like readjust. And they're like, listen, you can clearly see that Jake is like, he's fainting. Like he's doing like little fakes to try to elicit a movement from Woodley to see what he's going to do when he does it. Like, so he's testing him so that he starts to move. So the next time he does it, maybe Woodley doesn't react as quickly. And you can clearly see he faints and then Woodley like reacts to it. He tries to parry it. And then when he resets, he goes back, he does the little jerk again. And then clearly you can see that Jake Paul's looking at his rib cage.
Yeah.
Right. So Tyron brings his arm down to protect his rib cage, but as Jake is looking at his rib cage, he goes up top and catches him with a hook.
That was a phenomenal hit.
It's night night. I don't know if you can catch somebody cleaner than that.
No,
professional boxer, non-professional boxer, dude. He caught him on the stop button. That was literally the off button. He hit it right on the little nerve there.
Yeah,
and it was lights out. Even, you know, Tyron after the fight, who people are saying you really can't listen to him because, you know, if he's in on it, then he's going to ride it. But
yeah,
I'm telling you right now, Tyron had his whole family there, friends there. He's a former UFC champion.
Yeah.
I just don't see it. And if it did happen, I don't see how it wouldn't leak.
Yeah. I mean, you're telling me this guy would have accepted whatever dollar amount. Like, I think he was doing okay for himself. Now, we don't know. We obviously have no idea what his financial situation is like, but I think he was doing okay for himself. He's going to take an extra whatever it is to get cracked in the face and knocked out and be like, you know what, whatever. My career is done anyway. So, you know, let me get knocked out by Jake Paul. Like, that doesn't benefit him in any way. He's a young guy. I don't know if he's going to do announcing. I don't know what route he's going in his life. I don't know what path he wants to go on. Getting knocked out by a young YouTuber does not benefit you when you've spent your whole life as a fighter. And so the whole thing about him, like, you know, and everybody's saying, like, every person that was like, oh, look at the twist. Because that was the first thing I saw.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, look at the twist. It's he obviously was motioning to him. And then I literally saw Tyrone Woodley go to, like, move his arm to the hand. And he, like, left his face completely susceptible. It's not like, like I saw some guys that were like, look how he drops his hand. And I'm like, you obviously have never had a punch come to your gut. And no, like, I've watched boxing matches where guys have literally just got cleaned out by getting hit in the ribs, getting the wind knocked out of them, and they get knocked out that way. So these are like full-blown punches to your gut. And I've been punched in the stomach before. It feels horrible. And so the punch was coming in the sixth round to his ribs. And so he went to move his arm down and clearly got, like, Jake just played him. He went to, like, look like I'm going for the body, and he cracked you in the face. And it was so clear to me that Woodley was going to block the punch and then just got caught in the face. It wasn't like he just dropped his hands. It was like, here you go, punch me in the face. Like, it was just clear as day that that is not what happened, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with
and
you.
And so, and then there was a couple things. It was like, I was like, okay, that doesn't make sense. Then I saw somebody else came up on my feed, and the guy was like, human nature is to brace yourself if you're going down face first. This guy just, like, went face into the mat, like you said.
He ate the mat, dude.
He goes, this guy was unconscious when he was going to the mat. So then once I saw that, I was like, everybody else is talking about it. They're just looking for clicks, or they're just looking for, I don't know, drama. And then, you know, everybody, because you know what everybody loves to do with Jake Paul? They love to talk about him. Like, hey, look, come fight a real boxer. Like, this dude tried to fight a real boxer.
Tommy Fury. Tyson Fury's brother. Yep.
Tyson Fury is world champ boxer. Tommy Fury, I can only imagine, is pretty good.
I mean, he was 5-0.
So this is a real boxer. Like, let's just, Tommy Fury bailed out early. Jake Paul just was like, I need this fight. Like, we got money on the line. Showtime. I got pay-per-view. How can I get something? It's going to be a rematch. Now, what I thought going into, and I think we talked about this, was that, like, dude, they got to set up for the trilogy. He's got to lose this fight so they could do a third one. Obviously, Jake Paul had no desire. He was like, yep, nope, I'm going to knock you out.
Yeah, he wanted to knock him out because he said he was the one fighter that he hadn't knocked out yet that he's faced. I mean, listen, I don't care what anybody says. You know, whether you like Jake Paul, you don't like him, you think he's arrogant, whatever it may be. I agree with you. Like, he's grown on me. You know, like, now, I used to not be a fan of him, but he's grown on me because it takes a lot of balls to go in there and fight Tyron Woodley, who, if you don't know who that is, like, this is a bad dude. Yeah. Like,
I don't want to see him in the UFC.
He's made a living knocking dudes out, like, boxing style, made a living, like, putting guys to sleep on their feet. So he has one hit power where he will literally put you in the hospital with one fist. So any man who's willing to get in there with that and fight him, my hat goes off to you. And I'll tell you what, Jake Paul has the best trainers, the best nutritionists, all the best, like, medicine, anything that you can have, the best training facilities. He's a multimillionaire already. So he's not like some amateur boxer who's, like, scrapping along. He's got the best people around him. He's got BJ Flores, who's a former professional boxer, good boxer, training him every day. He's got all the best foods, everything at his fingertips to allow him to excel in boxing as fast as possible. And it seems like he's taking it very seriously. I'll tell you what, man, hot take, Tyson Fury made the right move. I know Tommy. He was supposed to, I'm sorry, you're right. Tommy Fury. I know that he was sick and he supposedly had a broken rib. I actually think that's all true, but I think he's sitting at home going, you know what? Probably not the best thing for me to fight this kid right now. Cause if I lose, he's trying to be world champion one day. You lose to Jake Paul, the YouTuber, your boxing career is over. So man, I'll tell you what. Even like, who'd he call out afterwards? Masvidal, Jorge Masvidal, Nate Diaz, McGregor.
Yeah, because they were all there and they were talking. They were like talking crap. But here's the thing, right? So I just looked it up. Jake Paul is 24 years old. He's young. So say he's like, you know what? I like this boxing stuff. You know what? I'm gonna keep going with this. Let me try it. Let me go for it. He's like, what, 2 years into it right now? So he started at 22. Like, he's young. Three, he's got some wins. Maybe even. Maybe he does fight somebody. I wouldn't mind seeing it. I wouldn't hate seeing it. he's bringing money back to boxing. Boxing was dead after Floyd Mayweather. Dead.
Yep. It got I actually could have gone. Emmett, to this? You know Emmett, BB King Emmett.
Yeah.
He had an extra ticket. Originally, it was supposed to be Tommy versus Jake Paul. And I was like, I'm in. And then he didn't have the extra ticket. One of his other friends ended up going. He wanted it. And then he called me like 2 days, you know, before the fight and was like, hey, my friend backed out. Now it's Tyron versus Jake if you want to go. And I was like, I can't go. Now I have plans. Plus, that wasn't as an exciting of a fight for me. In Tampa, Florida.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, I was just going to fly down there and check out the fight. But
yeah,
man, I'm excited to see where he goes. I don't think he's going to be like a world champion one day. I don't. But I enjoy watching fight. Like, it almost seems like the professional boxers, for the most part, are almost too technical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to see bad blood. I want to see a dislike for each other. I don't want to see boxers picking and choosing who they're going to fight because they're trying to build up their own resume.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to see dudes going in there who hate each other and beat the shit out of each other. Simple as that. Like, I want to see that. And Jake, it's unpredictable. You don't know. I will say the fight was a little boring leading up to the knockout. It was kind of a lot of holding.
Yeah.
But I just think this form of boxing, like you said, is definitely bringing attention back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it more interesting than the two professional boxers who are technically sound just going for points.
Mm-hmm. Right. And like picking and choosing who you want to fight, which they all do it, you know.
Yep.
That's the one thing I don't love about like UFC and boxing is – all these guys are like picking and choosing. Like in these other sports, you can't really hide. Like, we're the best team. We're going to play the other best teams.
Yep.
There's no way to hide from it. I don't get to pick my opponent every Sunday or every, you know, week. You know, for the most part, you're going to be playing. And if you're good, you'll beat them. And if you're not, you're going to lose. In UFC and boxing, like, they do that a lot. It's always like, well, I need to get my undefeated record. That's going to get me a little bit of buzz. Let me fight all these scrubs. And then when I get to the top and I win, it's like, I'm not just going to take a fight with the second guy underneath me because that he may beat me. And I want to be the champ for a while because I need to have X amount of dollars that I can build up so that my worth is this when I have that huge fight. It just seemed all of it seems a little bit too calculated, but Dana White did a great job, man. He's created a $1 billion company and everybody loves the UFC. So I like that Jake is trying to go at some of the UFC guys because I would love to see him, you know, whatever. It is what it is. He's not fighting real boxers. UFC fighters are animals. These guys are the real deal. You know, yeah, maybe not as technical as a boxer standing up, but the UFC fighters are guys that I wouldn't want to see in a street fight. Like, yeah, a boxer is a boxer. Like, call it for what it is. Like, anybody's going to be talking shit. Like, for me, I grew up wrestling. So, if, like, you see a boxer out, I'm going to be like, oh, I'm going for your legs. I don't know that you're going to know what to do. UFC fighters, like, yeah, I could be on my feet or I could be on the ground or I could fight you any way you want. I could throw kicks. I'll do whatever I want. Like, those to me are fighters.
Yeah,
so I think it would be cool. Like, those guys are scary. UFC fighters are terrifying. So I think it's cool, like, kind of going that route because it's like, well, come into my world. And you saw McGregor do it. But I don't think it works the other way around. Like, I saw Dana White say something like, Jake Paul, like, coming to the Octagon. Like, that doesn't work that way. Like, boxing, you can train to be a boxer. Like, you got to go through a lot more stuff. Like,
yeah, when it multiple comes to UFC.
So it's like, it doesn't really, in my opinion, doesn't really correlate side by side. So, like, calling him out in that sense, it's like, what are you doing there? Just like, send your guys to the boxing ring and then see if they can hang until he gets knocked out.
You know, he will. He'll, eventually, he's going to get caught.
Yeah.
Eventually, he's going to get knocked out. But in the meantime, I think it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
I'll definitely keep buying his fights because they're entertaining as hell.
I like Jake a lot.
Jake, keep going, buddy. We like it. We enjoy it. We'll take one more break. We'll be right back.
All right. So we're back from our final ad break, and we have one more topic that we wanted to cover, and it's with someone that we've talked about quite a bit, right? He's no stranger on this podcast. I wish in person, but just our topics. Elon Musk, and he was voted Times Person of the Year, 2021 Person of the Year. And now, you know, that's awesome. But it came with a little bit of drama. Senator Liz Warren rips Elon Musk, member 2021 Person of the Year, and said, time for this freeloader to pay his fair share. Would you describe Elon Musk as a freeloader? That if you can describe Elon Musk one way,
billionaire,
innovator. Close to a billionaire, would you describe him as a freeloader?
No, I wouldn't. I don't know what Elon pays. I know the rich in general have the best accountants and all find ways to kind of reduce what they pay in taxes. I don't know if that's the right time and place for it. I think Elon is the, you know, Ben Franklin of our time. Like, I think he's creating things like that are going to change the world forever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, well after he's gone. And he's not only doing it in the, I mean, the guy's huge on climate change. Obviously, that's mm-hmm. why he's so big on electric vehicles. He's trying to reduce carbon emissions so that our world has less pollution, less effect of the ozone layer. Obviously, it's more, you know, we last longer. And, you know, mm-hmm. he's someone who understands that if we keep having gas powered vehicles, it's, you know, it's not going to end well.
Right.
And then on top of that, knowing that he may not get what he wants as far as everything becoming electric and reducing mm-hmm. pollution and all that. And if the whole electric vehicle thing doesn't work, where he's not able to reduce the amount of pollution that we're creating through vehicles, he's also working on a second idea, which is to make us interplanetary, where we have the ability to go to Mars and colonize Mars and live on Mars, so that if Earth becomes a place where we have to basically exit, I don't know a better way to say it, right? It becomes a place where it's, we can't live here.
And this will not happen in our generation. It'll not in our generation, but he's to come. Yeah.
He's thinking about it. And NASA's
be here. He's trying to put something
NASA was like dead in the water. We were like no longer, space travel was like non-existent. Mm-hmm. And I was just seeing an article recently where like SpaceX accounted for like 90% of all missions from space, you know, to space. So I think he's an innovator. By no means is he perfect. And listen, I'm not sitting here naive enough to believe that part of the reason he's doing this is because he makes money off of it. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a businessman. Like, I do think he values money. But if you look at him, he lives in like a 500 square foot home, like on the Tesla or SpaceX base. Like, mm-hmm. he's not somebody who lives a high lifestyle where he's like driving around in McLarens and F1 and, you know, Lamborghinis.
Let me give you some information about this freeloader. Let me tell you something about this freeloader.
This is where it's coming from?
This is from CNBC last week. They had a report. Elon Musk is expected to pay $11 billion with a B in taxes in 2021. What a freeloader.
$11 billion.
It's like, enough is enough. He needs to pay his fair share. This is ridiculous.
Well, you know what people are going to say, though, to that? Like, I'm with you, but I know people are going to say, like, yeah, but what percentage of his net profits was that, you know, that year? Like, because of the tax, you know, technicalities out there, you know, the tax workarounds.
Well, they're trying.
Even though he made, you know, he's on pace to be a trillionaire.
Yeah.
So $11 billion to him is like the equivalent of like $1,100 to us.
Well, that's a projection. He's projected to be a trillionaire based off of the growth of his two companies separately into one. So like, that could be wrong. He may not be a trillionaire, but he's on the path, right? But my biggest thing is just like the whole, like, it just kind of goes to show, like, yeah, all right. Is he finding ways around it? Yes. But is he paying taxes? Yes. Like, he's not like not paying any taxes. And I think that's like the whole like political thing about it. Cause I bet you there's a bunch of people that are like, yeah, Elon Musk should be paying his fair share. And nobody knows this guy's paying this year projected over $11 billion in taxes. Now, like, I don't know. Does that equate to exactly what he's made this year or what his worth is? Like, I don't know, but it's not like he's paying nothing. It's $11 billion. Okay.
I agree.
That's an obscene amount of money, you know, and that probably makes up a ton of the taxes that are being paid for the year. Like the lowest income level in the US, they pay no taxes. And so it's like, yes, like, yeah, I do agree with the whole fair share, but I don't agree with politicians just spewing out dumb statements just for like clicks or to get people behind like whatever kind of movement they're trying to do, when in all actuality, it holds no weight. And I would hope that people start to like look up information that their politicians are saying, because it's just like a lot of these, you know, a lot of people are saying like, oh, tax the rich. But it's like, as all these tax changes are happening, you know, we were just talking about stuff that was going through that kind of got halted. You know, we're going to be taxed too. Like, the middle class does get taxed too. It doesn't just hit the rich. That just isn't how it works, because for the most part, a lot of these rich people are the ones that are voting for people that go into office. So you think they're just going to like spit in the people's faces that are kind of like funding their campaigns? Like, I don't know. It just seems, I think we have a little bit more of a, we have a lot easier way to access information now. And so I'm eager to see like, what does Elon Musk pay in taxes this year? you know, like, because I'm sure he'll be pretty transparent about it because he's the one that put that out initially. And then it's caused, you know, news outlets to investigate it because Elon Musk isn't one of those celebrities where you just say something about him and he's like, oh, let me just kind of, you know, whatever, I'm making my millions or billions. No, I'm making my billions / trillions and I'm just going to stay quiet. Like, he's been going at people on Twitter and I love it. Like, I'm all for it. Kind of like rips into them. There was another one about like climate change or something like that. And he goes, I'll donate $6 billion right now if you can show me something. I can't remember exactly what it is, but you guys got to look it up. It's awesome. He just calls him out and like, you hear nothing about it. It's like, exactly. Like, this guy is, I think innovator is such an incredible way to describe him, but he's also brilliant. Like, he's just brilliant. Yeah. Where like, you think you're going to say something to him and he's not going to be able to be like, oh, let me exploit you really quickly.
Because and he's not political too. Like, he will call out a Democrat and a Republican in the same day.
Which is awesome.
He don't care. He's all about like human growth and evolution.
Yeah.
You know, it's two questions for me. First part of your statement as far as like time. Do I think he's deserving of it? Yes, absolutely. He's an innovator. I believe for me personally, he's inspirational. I think a lot of young kids are going to aspire to do things like him, to push the boundaries, to expand our capabilities. Like, what's better than human beings finding ways to explore new, you know, the universe, right? Like, there's so much more out there. We're such a small part of it. If we're not constantly pushing that envelope because of budgetary concerns, then what are we really doing here? Like, are we just going to wait until something bad happens? Like, one of his missions recently was the DART mission, where he was trying to go out there and basically fly this spaceship or whatever it was, a satellite, into an asteroid, right? We talked about it on the podcast. So that, God forbid, that ever does really happen, we're not just sitting around going, what are we going to do? So to the first part, I think he's very deserving of the, you know, there's a lot of people that are deserving of it, but I think he's equally deserving. So to give it to him, I think it's a great choice. The second part, as far as taxes, I won't get into my financials. All I'll say is this. I'm self-employed. You know, I have my podcast, my private investigation firm, Winner Circle, you know, all these different facets where I'm my own guy and I have to, you know, go through my accountant to pay my taxes. And I do pay my fair share. I don't have some high powered accountant that's like hiding money for me. And I can tell you guys out there that my average is about 30%, you know, 30 to 35% I'm paying in taxes of what I make in profit. And I'm not privy to the tax loopholes that these millionaires are. So in the grand scheme of what I made this year, I'm going to pay about 30 something percent. So to be fair, even though I'm an Elon Musk fanboy, admittedly, I am willing to bet right now Elon Musk is not paying 30%. He's probably paying somewhere closer to like in the single digits. Same thing with like Jeff Bezos and all these other ones, whoever you want to name, they're all doing it. They have those ways to hide their money. They have experts. That's all they do all day long. So listen, you can make the argument that it's not fair that they're doing that. You could also make the argument that you got to improve the tax code so that they can't take advantage of those loopholes. I don't know what the answer is, but I do think it's two separate issues. And I don't think it was right for Elizabeth Warren to take something that's really a big achievement for anybody.
Correct.
And to use that to as an opportunity to politicize it and say like, oh, he's a bad person because he's not paying in taxes, when he's doing more for our country, our world, as far as, you know, trying to improve on our, you know, how we make the earth more sustainable for our children than most of the people, including the politicians. So I think it's poor choice on Elizabeth Warren's part, but you know,
it is. Yeah, what it I mean, is. But you know, politicians can't help themselves. They do it on both sides of the aisle. Any moment is a chance to like crush and push what their agenda is and what's getting them in office and what's making them all their money. You know, which is it's crazy.
Anything else before we close it out? I mean, we're not like really poignant tonight. We're kind of, it's a day, again, we're in Christmas mode. We wanted to keep episodes coming. We want to keep growing this community. We want to keep talking to you guys. So as long as y'all have us, we're going to keep being here. Mm-hmm. And these are the types of conversations we have. It's not going to be always doom and gloom. There's a lot of negative stuff that we were seeing. We honestly, full disclosure, we were looking it up as far as our headlines for the week before we came on here, and we both just decided collectively like, nah, we're just not going there. Like, there are things that we wanted to talk about, but we're like, nope, let's just have a week where if you're giving us the opportunity to have your attention for an hour, we want you to leave here in a better mood than when you started. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to get you all fired up about things. There's plenty of time throughout the year to do that. This week is not that week. Let's ride out the year with some positive news. And I think all the things we talked about, you know, pretty positive, you know, I mean, uncertain, but not too negative. Yeah. Although some people are trying to make it negative.
No, but next week, guys, we're going to be talking about, we're going to do a 2021 recap, yes. Go over the Survivor season, the Big Brother season, what we're hoping for in the new year with Big Brother, Celebrity Big Brother coming on. And so we're going to be touching on all that. Amazing Race. So that's going to be our 2021 recap episode is going to be next week. So make sure if you guys are here right now, turn on those notifications. Let a friend know that maybe is into the show that hasn't listened to the Winner's Circle. Pass it along to your friends. Pass it along to your family, because that's the only way we're going to really grow and build this community. So we appreciate you guys being here. And make sure those notifications are on.
That's right.
We appreciate
it. Like, comment, subscribe. We appreciate you being here. Have a great Christmas. Happy holidays to everyone who doesn't celebrate Christmas. We're thinking of all of you. We hope you're enjoying it with your loved ones. Thank you for joining us here on the Winner's Circle. We will see you next week.